Like that. Welcome everyone to the March 30th Sussex County Council meeting. I'll call the meeting to order. The approval of the agenda, Mr. Baker, have you any changes?
Yes, I do. We do have several recommended changes. First, we are recommending deletion of approval of the minutes. And then number three, under myself, resolution for moratorium and gaming, which would be handled at the end of the meeting. Then under Mr. Mike Wizzo, Laurel Paramedic Station change order number three. And under executive session, deleting personnel and pending litigation.
Council have any other changes? Not, I entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
So moved.
Second, please. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Reading of correspondence, Mr. Moore.
I do not have any correspondence, Mr. President.
Does council members have any correspondence they'd like to share?
Well, I submitted some letters from some folks who live off of Prime Hook Road. And just for the record, I've received 10 more from different people who live out there and having trouble getting in and out of their road. But I did forward them on to the state agencies that answered to that.
Does council have any other correspondence? If not, we'll turn the meeting over to Mr. Baker, our county administrator.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention that we did receive an email regarding the Prime Hook Road situation from this morning from the state of Delaware, and they indicated that DelDOT and DENREC and the Beach Preservation Group are working on a solution.
I'm very glad to hear that.
So Susan Webb will be providing you a copy today.
It's very scary to drive out there. The water is right up to the road on both sides. When it's down, and when it's up, it's over the road.
Right. Okay, the first item we have is Census Bureau report, and with us today we have Mr. Jess Quintero, Mr. Jerry Fike, and Mr. Sterling Street from the U.S. Census Bureau, and they asked to speak to you regarding the benefits and the need for returning the census form. So I'll introduce Mr. Quintero.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Mr. President, members of the council, we're going to be very brief. We provided you with several documents, so I'm sure that we won't take long. First of all, the first part that, by the way, we had a meeting with Chip and with Mr. Baker prior to this, and they kind of gave us an overview of what they felt was the needs of the county. First of all is the partnership safety aspects of this. The federal law, the U.S. Census Bureau cannot share responses with other, including welfare agencies, immigration authorities, Internal Revenue Service, the courts, the president, etc. I believe the League of Women Voters at the last meeting spelled out a lot of these. We are subject to a fine of several hundred thousand dollars, $250,000, if we divulge any information. So the safeguard is there. As an example, yesterday we did a road tour in Merrydale. We had a lot of Guatemalans come in, and that was one of their biggest questions. We've been working with the Russian community and with the Asian and with the Nanticoke tribe. Mr. Sterling Street, who is here, is also a member of our team, the partnership census team. And I sent Dave and Chip an outline of where the counties stand, Kent, Newcastle, and Sussex, regarding their rate of return. And while Sussex is a little bit down in comparison to the others, we're still ahead of the ball game at this time, which I'm very proud of. About $85 million is saved every year. Every 1% increase in male participation nationwide, those are nationwide savings. The Census Bureau saves $60 to $70 per census form that is returned by mail. Delaware receives about $1.15 billion per year in federal funding. By population, that translates to $1,312 per person each year. every person missed in the census count, Delaware loses about 13,000 in funding over a 10-year span. We're here to try and enhance that. We've been working with the ministers, the other churches, et cetera. We also gave you a breakout of a geographic basis. The Census Bureau reports data for a wide variety of geographic types, ranging from the entire United States down to a census block. The chart below illustrates this hierarchy. Most important to you are the redistricting areas of the state and county legislative districts. We're very sensitive to that, and we're hoping that this year we can assist in assuring that we get more count. We have been beating the bushes out in areas where some people may not even think that there are people living. For example, we know that people live in garages, and nobody really checks garages. We know that there's two or three families living in one apartment or in one house. That's fine, but nobody checks the garages. And I think that's been really good for us, that we've got sensitive people, the homeless. We've been able to track those that are living under bridges and in parks, et cetera. And then another little part that we brought you was the mission and history of the Census Bureau. The Census Bureau serves as the leading source of quality data about the nation's people and economy. We honor privacy, protect confidentiality, share our expertise globally, and conduct our work openly. We guide on this mission by our strong and capable workforce, our readiness to innovate, and our abiding commitment to our customers. I think one of the more important things that we have in our county is that we have bilingual people working the census, both Russian, Arabic, Spanish, some of the Chinese, some of the Asian peoples have very different dialects. So we've been able to harness some of their support. The Hindi people also have been participating with us. And I happen to speak Spanish rather fluently. It was my first language, so I think that also coming from the Depression era, I have a little bit of information about to people that tell me that they are depressed. We have our own stories to share, and I think that we can offset some of those things. We have been able to develop relationships with other cities and counties. We interface with Kent County also. Our team does. So we've been very fortunate that there are a lot of support people out there. The one other item that would be of importance to you is that I added a list of questionnaire assistance centers and be counted sites. Some of you or your staff may get questions as to where are these centers located. I didn't get one in the mail or I lost it. Please guide me to the nearest one. We've got Seaford and Laurel and Bridgeville and Selbyville and Frankfort, Dagsboro, Millsboro, Georgetown, Milford, Rehoboth, and Lewis listed for your consideration and the staff's consideration and to be shared with others as you please. I will be quiet now in case someone has any questions. I'd be more than glad to try and answer.
Any questions? I actually have gotten an email from someone just recently. It was very timely. It was from a lady down in Frankfort. I'll read it to you. She's advanced. As we discussed, here's the information I have regarding the returned as undeliverable of the 2010 census forms by the Frankfort Post Office, zip code 19945. The postmaster informed me that any census forms addressed to the old two-digit addresses that had been upgraded to a five-digit address as part of the 9/11 upgrade were returned as undeliverable. His explanation was that the deliveries of the forms were handled by an outside contractor and therefore no effort was made to reconcile the addresses. The last point was in response to my comment that I had personally provided the Frankfort Post Office with a complete list of old and new addresses for my community to assist the post office. I finally tracked down a very helpful lady at the Philadelphia Regional Census Office and apprised her of what could be a considerable number of returned census forms. She informed me that in the May-June timeframe, volunteers would be going door-to-door, but that, of course, has faults, as well as in getting accurate counting. She also told me the census forms were available for pickup at the Dagsborough Church in the Selbyville Public Library. I guess the point that she is making is that she's very concerned that there's going to be an undercount in at least parts of Sussex County that could ultimately cost the county a lot of resources. Is that something that your department can address?
Sir, we have been trying to address this issue with partners like the League of Women Voters, the ministers. When we get information like this in a letter, we direct them to the closest question-answer center, which I gave you a list of. And on top of that, if there is any problem other than someone can't answer it, Dave and Chip both have my phone number, and I can be contacted directly.
Okay. I promised her I'd share that with you.
Thank you, sir.
Any other questions from council? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is policy regarding council person request. And last Tuesday at the council meeting, there was some discussion regarding information requests and how they're handled by staff. Information requests from county council persons are handled as quickly as possible. Individual department heads, Hal Godwin, Chip Guy, and myself will continue to do our best to handle your request as well as the request, of course, from the public. Of course, some requests are more challenging and more difficult and require a lot more time and effort to respond to. We do have a listing of department heads on our webpage, which has telephone numbers and also has email addresses that you can actually, for the public especially, post a information request or comment, whatever, directly to that department head. We will attempt to improve in our efforts to respond as quickly as possible for various requests. And I'm not sure if there are any other council concerns that we could address on this.
No, I just think that anytime we make a request in the public forum here, there needs to be an expectation from all of us that, you know, something, we'll get a response to that, you know, and now in the back, you know, in the hallway or, you know, that's a different thing. But I think here, when it expect, you know, there is an expectation, we as councilmen should be able to expect without having to, you know, go pry it out of anybody. So I just, that's my only comments. And I think that would resolve a lot of the problems.
Okay. I'm sorry for the problems in the past.
No, I just
we'll work on improving.
I just think that's the best way to do it.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then the next item is the administrator's report, and we have several items. First, the airport committee met on March 23rd. This was the first meeting of the airport advisory committee. Mr. Garrett Dernoga, who is the fixed base operator at the airport, was appointed chairman of the committee, and Mr. Jeffrey Reed was appointed vice chairman of the committee. Various issues to be considered at forthcoming meetings, such as FAA regulations, proposed airport policies, airport expansion plans, were discussed. The next meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, April 28th, in the training room at the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center. Mr. Wilson was at the meeting. He is on the airport committee. Manufactured Housing Committee will be holding a meeting on April 8th at 10 a.m. in the County Council Chambers. This will be the third meeting of the committee. We expect that the committee will be making recommendations possibly at this meeting for the County Council to consider regarding manufactured housing issues. Substantial completion, Rehoboth Beach Yacht and Country Club Phase 8, Agreement 355. Was granted substantial completion on March 18th. Developer is Great South Beach Improvement Company. This is in the West Rehoboth Expansion Sewer District, consisting of 58 single-family homes. Next, we regret to inform you that Mr. John Tyndall, a past security guard for the Sussex County Council, passed away on March 29, 2010. Mr. Tyndall worked for the Sussex County from August 1978 until he retired in August 1997, in total 19 years. We wish to express our condolences to Mr. Tyndall's family. And then Easter holiday, county offices will be closed on April 2nd, Good Friday. County offices will reopen on Monday, April 5th at the normal time, 8:30 a.m. The county council will not meet April 6th in honor of the Easter holiday. Thank you.
Ms. Baker?
Yes.
Is there a chance that the committee meeting with the manufactured home parks people and the owners of the parks might be extended a little bit? I know Dixie Boucher is asking for that it not end with this last meeting. I think they're making a lot of progress, but I think they need more time. Is there any chance that we could schedule another meeting in addition to the one coming up?
Why don't we then see what the next meeting, the conclusion of it, and maybe tell her to raise that with the committee to, you know, instead of one committee member asking to be extended, have the committee make the request, you know, majority of them.
I think
she ought to bring it up there.
I think
she will, but I'm just doing a little, trying to get a little preliminary work done here.
Yeah, I think they have been making considerable progress, but our goal was to try to complete it in three meetings. However, I don't think it's cast in stone. I think it would certainly be up to the committee.
Would there be any objection from the council to have an additional meeting? Anybody speak up? No, I have no
problem.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah. So if they want to have another meeting, I think say go for it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That all?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Webb?
Thank you. Take one and pass it down, please. Just a little recap on our health insurance as of late. You know, over the last few years, we've been working on our health insurance costs as it has a major impact on our budget. And a couple of years ago, we had our insurance consultant, Insurance Buyers Council, review our existing health insurance plan to see if our costs were in line for the type of health insurance that we did offer. And basically, the results were that, yes, for the level of benefits that we had, that our costs were pretty good, and self-insurance was the best way to go for us. Our next step was to go in and examine our benefits as we did in last year's budget and see if we could tweak some of those costs. And we did last year by increasing employee contribution and offering two types of plan, one more expensive than the others, providing some relief to our budget. The next step we decided was to competitively price out our health insurance and see if what we are paying is competitive and get competitive bids. And this is where our real health insurance savings is, because we are self-insured and we pay direct claims, so it's important to get good provider discounts, and this is what we were pricing out. And we have just gone through the RFP process with our consultant, and today Mr. Steve Fallon of Insurance Buyers Council is here to go over those results and the analysis.
Thanks, Susie.
Welcome, Steve.
Thanks.
Everyone had a copy of the presentation, I guess, a couple days in advance, and I'm just going to hit some of the highlights and then open it up to your questions. In terms of the overall request for proposal process, our recommendation is that the relationship that you currently have with Integra as your claims administrator and the provider network that they're accessing through OneNet, there really wasn't any compelling financial reason to recommend a change. When we evaluated the competitors using all the different matrix, and there is an analysis included. There isn't a compelling financial reason, or also there are several potential downsides in terms of provider access that a change would represent. So that, I guess, is sort of the overall. There were a couple of things we did look at. We were going to market the pharmacy benefit contract that you have through Integra. Sort of simultaneous to our analysis, Integra negotiated a new deal with CVS Caremark that we project is going to save about $140,000 a year in pharmacy costs. And when we evaluated the terms of that contract with CVS Caremark, in terms of the discounts to average wholesale price, the rebate levels, dispensing fees, and all those sort of the nitty-gritty, we found our recommendation is not to take that out to the market, that the CVS Caremark contract that Integra negotiated on their entire block of business was extremely competitive with the marketplace, and any savings, if any, would have been marginal. So, that $140,000 in reduction in prescription drug claims will come primarily from increased discounts and some improved manufacturer's rebate levels. So, and then ultimately, the fact that further reductions aren't going to come sort of from the outside in terms of the purchase of reinsurance or provider discounts, but more from sort of the internal restructuring of the program. As Susie said, currently 85 to 90% of your costs are driven by your claims, and impacting that claim number is really in terms of the long-term savings. Just a couple other items. One of our disappointments was that Blue Cross and Blue Shield was not able to participate in the process, having failed to meet the deadline. We did go ahead and analyze their proposal anyway because we thought it would be worthwhile. Came in a couple days late. We went ahead and analyzed their proposal, and we found it lacking in several areas. Primarily, the most disappointing area, besides the fact that they couldn't get their act together enough to submit the proposal, was the lack of any kind of meaningful financial guarantees in terms of their claim discounts. For 3 years now, maybe even earlier, but for the 3 years that we've been involved with Sussex County, the Blue Cross reps have constantly been touting the improved provider discounts and the potential claim savings that they would be able to provide the county. The RFP that we put together and conversations we had with them beforehand clearly laid out the challenge for them to not just say they have better discounts, but to prove that they have better discounts. We were looking for them to do this in two ways. One was we provided them with a complete claim file for all the claims for the past year per their specifications and asked them to reprice that claim file. They did not do so. Secondly, we asked them for meaningful performance guarantees related to their claim discounts and the trend that the county's claims would realize. They failed to do either of those as well. So, aside from the fact that sort of on a technicality they were disqualified, our assessment is that it would not have been a worthwhile proposal even if they had gotten it in on time. So, I think that's important from our standpoint. We really wanted to, having gone through the process, we wanted to see what was there, and we're somewhat disappointed by that. But I think at least now, after the process that you've gone through for the last couple of years, that you are in a good place, a competitive position. The programs you have are well structured, and there's not a lot of fat. So, as I said, that doesn't mean the costs are going to start going down. There are things that you need to do internally. So, we have a couple of recommendations in the back, primarily to continue to increase enrollment in the Silver Plan, and that's really only going to come through adjusting employee contributions. And these are not immediate; these are probably long term. Trying to increase compliance with the disease management program. Currently, one of the issues that Integra has encountered is that there are a lot of people who are identified as being eligible for the disease management program, but because the disease management program is voluntary, they decide thanks but no thanks. And that's a missed opportunity in terms of having medical professionals, nurse case managers, interact with the employees or their families and attempt to drive better outcomes by managing their condition. Perhaps it's compliance with their treatment regimen, the prescription drugs they're taking, if they're diabetic or pre-diabetic, making sure they're seeing an endocrinologist regularly, have their eye exam, their foot exam, those types of things. And to the degree that people are identified and then don't participate, that is a lost savings opportunity. And I think also goes to the next point, which is trying to find ways to improve employee engagement, to get away from sort of the benefits are an entitlement and really have employees recognize that a little bit of behavior change on their part can go a long way in terms of reducing the cost, which ultimately will forestall any changes in contribution levels and benefit levels. A couple other minor things, restructuring the reinsurance contract, just beginning the idea of perhaps exploring wellness programs or some aspects of wellness, and then being cautious. There's been plenty of activity at the federal level, obviously, when it comes to health care, and examine those mandates and what the impact will be, both short-term and long-term. So we appreciate the opportunity to work with you and have any questions that you might have.
Could I make a point before we get started? If you turn to page 7 and look at the carriers who did respond to the RFP, I know Steve talked about Blue Cross and Blue Shield, but there were other heavy hitters, the big guys in this market, that also, you know, we thought perhaps we could get competitive pricing from them as well. So, I mean, all these are, you know, definitely got out there to the biggest health providers.
Yeah, there isn't anybody that could possibly meet your needs on the full spectrum of services that's not on this list.
Right. I mean, wouldn't you agree these are some of the big national ones that...
Yes, absolutely. There are several of the largest...
The largest discounts, companies. You know, if they're, you know, right. Pricing out insurance.
So really, the only competition, there wasn't any. You've got all these declined to quotes in here. Missed deadline.
They declined a quote.
That's because they
just didn't want to
it.
Try to attempt...
They looked
at what we had and said, let's...
Right. We're not going to be able... In the case of, for example, United Healthcare, they couldn't match the plan design. And the plan design, having undergone the changes in the plan that you went through last year, what we didn't want to do is start an apples and oranges type of, mm-hmm. you know, somebody's quoting and they're lower, but, oh, well, wait a minute, they have changes in co-pays and deductibles and those types of things. So, you know, Coventry, for example, was not competitive. They knew they weren't going to be competitive, so they said, you know, we're not going to quote. Mm-hmm. We can't compete. United Healthcare, the same thing with the plan design. Aetna's proposal was comprehensive, and you know, it was a good proposal.
Oh yes, I'm sorry, I missed that.
It just wasn't as good when you really kind of got down and looked at the details. It wasn't as good. Again, Blue Cross couldn't meet the deadline, but we did get their proposal and we did analyze it. So you really, the net effect is you did get that proposal.
Anyway.
And generally, in a marketplace like this, you know, the local Blue Cross plan is always going to be one of the more competitive options. So the fact that we looked at Aetna and had the proposal from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we think is a good sample. Cigna is generally not competitive in programs like this one.
And it is no small task to move over 1,000 people off of one plan onto. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a big consideration, comparing apples to apples and not apples to oranges once you're into a whole new scenario.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, absent significant savings over the long term and guaranteed savings, we'd be reluctant to make that recommendation. We're not going to chase, you know, a few dollars for the short term if we don't think it's sustainable. One thing I should add, we did negotiate a 3-year rate guarantee on your administrative fees with Integra. So that's another thing that kind of came out of the process, mm-hmm. is your administrative fees will be capped for 3 years.
So. I have a question about the disease management program. Do the people who participate in this, is their information, is privacy with upheld?
Absolutely. I mean, the
people
federal...
People are told when they're asked about, did you see the doctor, did you do this, did you do that? And they're told that this is private information, it's not disclosed.
Absolutely. I mean, the federal privacy laws prohibit the exchange of information, and the members are assured of that. Maybe it's something that we need to make sure then reemphasize. The relationship is really a one-on-one relationship between the member and a nurse case manager. Who's going to call and follow up regularly, and that's really the extent of it.
I'm familiar with it through Blue Cross, and you know, all they do is call and ask me if I've done what I've done. And to me, it's, you know, if I were not taking care of myself, it would be valuable. Other than that, it's a waste of time. And I think people may resent the intrusion and may be a little worried about the privacy.
Okay. Certainly the privacy is a valid point. In terms of the intrusion, I also understand that. And that's why we say that members need to understand, though, that the cost to the plan, if they can help control the cost in the plan, then in the long run, everyone's going to be better off. And at the end of the day, their health is going to be better. Right. Maybe they're already compliant with their regimen, so they don't bother engaging. But, you know, it's unfortunate how many people, you know, have serious medical conditions that aren't engaged in managing those conditions.
David, are we engaging? How are we engaging our employees on this topic?
Mr. Denny Cordry's here from personnel, and I think
would somebody maybe just
Inetico.
Update us on what we're doing
on the disease management Integra contracts with a company called Inetico, and they're the ones that contact our employees. They're bound by HIPAA for the privacy, that's who we contract for that.
All right, but do we are we like with the next bullet he has under disease management? It said just improve employee engagement. I mean, are we doing like yearly or periodically, like going to each department and telling the employees, like, you know, here's what we'd like you to do. It would save our cost as a.
Yeah, at each renewal, we send out flyers. I'm sure you've gotten them in.
Yeah, but nobody reads a lot of that stuff.
Health Awareness Week. We had a huge kickoff a year ago about everything that we offered. And we even had classes right here during that week of how Inetico could help you.
I'm wondering, it just says improve employee engagement. We are doing something. Yes. Maybe it's not enough. Maybe we could look to, you know, a little bit effort to help there.
Health Awareness takes place in October.
And also on the last thing we just talked about, you know, be cautious about the federal and state mandates. Could you give a little editorial comment maybe on this health care legislation, how it's going to affect us in the short term maybe or in the long term?
I'd like to have a meeting about that.
Well, no, I mean, maybe
at the appropriate
just a couple.
Well,
this is appropriate. I want to hear 5 minutes of maybe
sure.
or a couple minutes of
what he thinks
from his point of view.
One thing as a plan sponsor, as an employer, sort of the immediate impact, several of the coverage mandates, things such as removing annual maximums and lifetime maximums, as a self-funded plan, you will be grandfathered, so you will not have to adopt some of those coverage limits, some of those changes in benefit.
That would be good, right?
I think from your standpoint, that's a good thing, absolutely. Okay. The other thing I would say is, as a plan sponsor that offers a extremely competitive, rich benefit program, there's really nothing in this legislation to address the issue of healthcare cost. This is really about improving access and, perhaps widening the number of, you know, attacking the number of uninsured and, some other, financial aspects. But there is nothing in this legislation that will address the issue of cost. So from the standpoint of cost containment, all the things that we're talking about here, you're going to need to continue to be vigilant on over the next several years. And that, I think, from the standpoint of, you know, if you call it health reform, you would like to see some things that are going to attack the issue of trend and double-digit increases, but that's just not the way it worked out.
And when you say grandfather, that doesn't mean because they have offered different dates. Just want to be clear. Mm-hmm. Even in 2014 or 2020, that clause does not come out. We're grandfathered in that.
But as the legislation exists today, now it could always be modified,
right,
but the Self-Insured Association of America was a very active group in trying to lobby to protect large employer plans, which for the most part aren't broken. So the theory being, you know, why mess with what is working? There's plenty that isn't. So some of those things, maximums. Now, some of the things in terms of wellness benefits you're already doing, and you may want to look at tweaking, it at some later date. But that'll be at your discretion, not something that's, you know,
mandated.
Now, the other issue that is looming out there, it has been put off for several years, is the issue of the Cadillac tax. 2018, I guess, is the date where that is set to kick in. We would have to look at, but we are telling many of our government plans that if there isn't some sort of exemption because of your government status, the benefits as they exist today and the cost of those benefits, some of your employees may be subject to that tax. But that's still, you know, many years down the road. So a lot of things can change.
I'll take care of you.
So, Steve, your recommendation would be to proceed with Integra?
Yes, proceed negotiating the renewal terms, finalize the renewal, which for the most part has been finalized as part of this process. You know, retain Integra as your claims administrator and proceed.
Do you have a motion?
I think Mr. Baker wants to make a point.
Mr. Baker?
Thank you. I just have one question. Will you assist us in negotiating with Integra to finalize this?
And yes.
I know there were some questions about different aspects that were presented in Integra's bid, that services that we have not been had in the past, and we would normally we would go over those with the county council.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it might be appropriate when we have the renewal in place that maybe we come back and explain that to you.
Yeah, but we will certainly assist you. We've already had many of those discussions with as part of this process, but I think we're looking to schedule one more meeting for them to come in, and we'll all sit down together.
Okay.
Finalize it.
I do have one more question. Is the Weight Watcher plan that's held here at the county, is that part of behavior change? Is that related to the health plan at all? Or is that separate?
It's separate. Uh-huh. It's separate.
No relationship to the insurance. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Vincent?
Good presentation.
Thank you.
It would appear to me that the only way or the best way for us to affect our cost down the road is to get people more involved in disease management programs and certainly wellness programs to address that on the front side and get people healthier, and so you don't have the issues to deal with as far as paying insurance for things that are wrong.
That is one. The other one would be to adjust the share of the overall health care cost that the...
Without adjusting the share cost, this, to me, from the employee standpoint, would be a much easier thing to do versus paying more for your insurance to be a little more involved in this and be healthier.
So. Absolutely right.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions?
I have to ask one more question. This Self-Insurance Association of America, do they endorse the use of... pedometer of the insureds wearing pedometer as far as counting the number of steps and how much exercise they get? Is, you know, you can use that as an incentive.
Absolutely. I think when we talk about wellness programs and exploring, you know, wellness, I think that is sort of the next step, is to, in addition to engaging people through disease management, is to try to prevent people from getting to the stage where they need disease management.
That's
through,
not part of this
through
plan.
Wellness. It's not today, but...
Okay.
That's not to say that you couldn't look at that. You know, I know Integra, has talked about it. The problem is there is an upfront cost, and the return on investment is over time. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Talking.
Mr. Baker, do you
like to know, maybe as part of this renewal, we can explore more to disease management, what we can do to improve disease management with Integra and Steve, and maybe give you some ideas.
Okay, if you'd like to do that, I don't think there would be objection.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good job.
I do have a motion.
All right, please.
Thank you, Mr. Fallon. Be it moved that the Sussex County Council accept the employee benefits review as presented by Insurance Buyers Council, and as a result of this, enter into a renewal contract with Integra Administrative Group.
So moved.
This is for 3 years?
No, this was the RFP as a project, but Integra is just year to year.
I thought his recommendation that he said he got them to lock in a 3-year
administration. Yes.
Why wouldn't we do that?
Oh, we will. But we're going to bring back the renewal to you and talk about that as we formally renew. We have to review by the end of April. And one of the points in their bid in the renewal will be that they will have a 3-year containment on their administrative fees.
I'll second that motion.
I have a motion and a second to approve the recommendations as read by Ms. Webb and presented by Mr. Fallon. Any discussion? If not, we'll... take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Brandy Bennett?